Well, we had some technical difficulties yesterday, so this is a re-recording of the gospel and the sermon for March 31st. Sorry, we don't have an anthem. And this is the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 15th chapter. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So Jesus told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me." So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father. I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.'" So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his slaves, "Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he has got him back safe and sound." Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, "Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him." Then the father said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found." And this is the gospel of our Lord. Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. When the great American storyteller Mark Twain was asked, "Who do you think is the best storyteller who ever lived?" Mark Twain answered, "Jesus Christ." And to the question of, "Then which story is the greatest story ever told?" he replied, "The story of the prodigal son." Well, I've got to agree with Mark Twain here. The story of the prodigal son or lost son or whatever you want to call it is one of the most beloved and well-known stories in the entire Bible. And to think, it's only found in Luke's gospel. Only in Luke's gospel where we get a telling of the life of Jesus that focuses again and again on him searching out the underdog and bringing healing and wholeness to people that are often discarded, disgraced, or just downright despicable. Luke shows us a Jesus, and so by extension a God who loves everyone no matter who they are or what they have done. From Luke, we discover a Jesus who will go out of his way to share the grace of God. And from Luke, we are challenged more so than by any other gospel writer to extend the grace we have received in turn to everyone we meet. But this can be a hard challenge. It's hard to forgive or forget or feel love for someone who has hurt you, you disagree with, or simply refuses to do the right thing. It's hard not to judge others and want them to pay for the mistakes we think they have made. But try is actually what we are called on to do. And hearing this story, I think, goes a long way to help us to start down a path of reconciliation. Start down a path that leads to salvation through grace alone. Through that amazing grace. That sweet, sweet sound. Through that amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. But what's so special about grace? Well, for me, it's so great because it's something I know I don't deserve, but I receive anyway. And Luke has a way of sharing what grace is all about in a way that I can just relate to. Take the story of the prodigal son, which appears in a string of three stories by Jesus. The lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. All of which seem to make the same point. Each underscores a sense of loss, tells the thrill of discovery, and ends with a scene of jubilation. Jesus says, in effect, do you want to know why God so freely doles out the grace? Well, it's because God knows that grace leads to repentance. And when even one person repents because they are fully forgiven, this brings God great joy. More joy and more rejoicing by God and the heavenly host over someone like me who stops, turns around, and makes my way back towards Christ than anything else. And the church should be a place of rejoicing as well. And not only the church, but also our homes, our schools, and where we work. Because wherever we are and whoever we're with, it's an opportunity to share grace. To share Christ's love for you by sharing your love with someone else. Because if God is willing to go to all the trouble to endure our bad choices and our flagrant sinning in order to have a relationship with us, the least we can do is try to be a little more open, a little more understanding, and a little more welcoming of those people in our lives who have gone astray, or at least we think have in some way. Now, I want to share with you a modern take on our gospel lesson that author Philip Yancey wrote that I truly believe drives home this message of unconditional love and forgiveness. You see, Yancey tells the story of a prodigal daughter who grows up in Traverse City, Michigan. She's disgusted with her old-fashioned parents who overreact to her nose ring, the music she listens to, and the length of her skirts, and so she runs away. Eventually, she ends up in Detroit, where she meets a man who drives the biggest car she's ever seen. And this man with the big car, she calls him boss, recognizes that since she's underage, men would pay a premium for her. So she goes to work for him. And things are good for a while. Life is good. But then she gets sick for a few days, and it amazes her how quickly the boss turns mean. Then before she knows it, she's out on the street without a penny to her name. Now she still turns a couple of tricks a night, but all the money goes to support her drug habit. Then one night, while sleeping on the metal grates of the city, trying to stay warm, she began to feel less like a woman of the world and more like a little girl. She begins to whimper. God, why did I leave? Why, even my dog back home eats better than I do now. And now she knows that more than anything in the world, she wants to go home. 3 straight calls home get 3 straight connections with the answering machine. Finally, she leaves a message. Mom, Dad, it's me. I was wondering about maybe coming home. I'm catching a bus up your way, and it'll get there about midnight tomorrow. If you're not there, I'll understand. Now, during the 7-hour bus ride, she's preparing a speech for her father. And when the bus comes to a stop in the Traverse City station, the driver announces the 15-minute stop. 15 minutes to decide her life. And so she walks into the terminal not knowing what to expect. But not one of the 1,000 scenes that have played out in her mind prepares her for what she sees. Because there in the bus terminal in Traverse City, Michigan, stands a group of 40 brothers and sisters and great aunts and uncles and cousins and a grandmother and even a great grandmother to boot. They're all wearing goofy party hats and blowing noisemakers, and taped across the entire wall of the terminal is a big banner that reads, "Welcome home." Then out of the crowd of well-wishers breaks her dad. She stares out through the tears quivering in her eyes and begins her memorized speech. But he interrupts her. "Hush, child. We've got no time for that. No time for apologies. We'll be late. A big party is waiting for you at home." Now, what I love about this retelling of the story is the ending. I love it because at that bus terminal, everyone, and I mean everyone, seems to be present to welcome the young girl home. There is no older brother or sister stubbornly refusing to forgive or forget. There is no one refusing to join in the celebration. And that's what every homecoming should be like. In fact, that's what Jesus wants most of all. He wants full restoration. He wants the church, his church. He wants each of you to be the vessel from which his grace is continually poured out to and for everyone who may be lost. Because not a single one of us is beyond the need for grace. And I'm sure every one of you has sinned and found yourself lost at one time or another. And most likely, every one of you will at some time feel lost once again. And that's why we need each other so much. That's why we need each other for support, for strength, and to be there for us when we are at our most vulnerable and in dire need of direction. And so this church must become our own little banquet hall, where we can rejoice and celebrate as simultaneously both sinners and saints in the presence of our Lord and Savior and be embraced by the love of this community of faith. This church must be a place where we all can joyfully return to, and no one should ever feel too embarrassed to come back. Too embarrassed to come back to, or maybe welcomed in for the very first time to this place by all of you. So remember, God doesn't play by our rules. In fact, for God, there are no rules. At least there are no rules that could ever disqualify you from God's love, because in and through the cross and Christ, the game has been forever changed. It has been forever changed dramatically. Because regardless if you think you are lost, Christ has found you. Christ has saved you, and Christ will love you forever. And all this is accomplished through grace alone. Through that amazing grace. That sweet, sweet sound. Through that amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. Yes, softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling for you and for me. So come home. Come home. You who are weary, come home. Amen.